As of today, Idaho, Texas, and Tennessee have new bans on most abortions. This comes 2 months after the Supreme Court struck down Roe v. Wade. Idaho is proceeding despite a legal challenge from the Biden administration. In all, 11 states now have total bans, and by a Washington Post estimate, nearly 21 million people now have no access to elective abortions in their home states. For more, we have NPR Sarah McCammon on the line. Sarah, hello.
Hey, Scott.
So 2 months on from the overturning of Roe v. Wade, more than 10 states have banned abortion. Who is most affected by these recent changes in the states?
Certainly people living in those now almost a dozen states with total or near total abortion bans, which are heavily concentrated in the Midwest and South, they're affected. And in general, the people who seek abortions are lower income women, often women of color. More than half are already mothers, according to the Guttmacher Institute, which is a research group that supports abortion rights. Mm-hmm. And about half of people who seek abortions are below the federal poverty level. So this is just intensifying that for people who live in places where abortion access is now non-existent. It's obviously more challenging to go out of state if you don't have a lot of financial resources.
Mm-hmm. In the course of your reporting, you have spoken to people seeking care as well as reproductive health providers. What individual stories stand out to you?
I've spent time in Texas and Louisiana and other places over the last several months, you know, even before the Dobbs decision. And as I'm sure you know, Texas had the most restrictive abortion law in the country in place. This was SB 8 that prohibited most abortions after 6 weeks. Earlier this year, I went to Texas and interviewed a woman named Anna who had a very wanted pregnancy, but, you know, sadly had a miscarriage around 19 weeks, too early for any kind of intervention to save the baby. But she, you know, she went to the hospital, her water had broken. Doctors there refused to terminate the pregnancy, which they said would have been the standard of care. I talked to her doctor as well. They said the best thing for her fertility, would have been to terminate that, you know, non-viable pregnancy, but couldn't because of the Texas law. I also think, Scott, about a young mom I met in Louisiana right after the Dobbs decision. For a while there, there was sort of litigation challenging Louisiana's state abortion bans, and abortion rights advocates won a brief reprieve from that. And so a clinic that was actually shut down for a while was able to resume offering abortions. And I met a young mom who told me, you know, she already had three boys. She was in her late 20s and was, she told me, just so exhausted and had, you know, very difficult pregnancies, was in the hospital, and just could not imagine having another child. When the decision had come down, she panicked and thought she was going to have to go to New Mexico to terminate her pregnancy. Wound up being able to go and get that abortion in Louisiana, which was closer for her.
And just going back to the woman in Texas you started talking about, in the end, what did she do?
She wound up flying to Colorado to get an abortion there, where there are less restrictive laws. And she told me she was fortunate that she was able to do that. She had a job where she could take time off of work. The whole trip cost several thousand dollars, which she had. But she said, you know, there are many people who would not.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, three states are starting new restrictions today. Idaho, Texas, you've talked about Texas, and Tennessee. What are the specifics in those states?
Already those states have abortion restrictions on the books. What's happening now is that in many cases, more restrictive laws, laws that make abortion a felony as opposed to something you can sue to try to stop, are taking effect. In Texas, already abortion access is non-existent, but now abortion becomes a felony with narrow exceptions to save the life of a patient. Tennessee already had a law prohibiting most abortions after 6 weeks. Now abortions are all illegal with no exceptions. There is a very narrow carve out in the law that may defend doctors against accusations if they've actually performed an abortion in an emergency situation. But that is, from what I've read from other reporting, a lot of lawyers are concerned about the way that law is written and what it will mean for doctors. In Idaho, also, there's approximately a six-week ban already in effect. Now it becomes a felony with narrow exceptions for rape, incest, and to save the pregnant woman's life.
Okay. In addition to abortion bans, are any states moving to ban abortion pills or emergency contraception medicines?
Sure. You know, abortion pills are actually the most common form of abortion now in the country, according to recent data from the Guttmacher Institute. Over half of abortions provided in this country are done not through surgery, but through an abortion pill protocol. Usually it's two pills in two different medications in succession. That's been approved by the FDA for more than 20 years now, has a very good safety record when used correctly under the right circumstances. And it's increasingly a common choice for people who either don't want surgery or don't want to travel to a doctor's office. In states with more supportive environments for access to abortion, it's possible to get these pills via a telemedicine appointment. If the doctor assesses the patient, determines they're a good candidate for that, then the pills can be mailed and taken at home with medical supervision, remote supervision. Mm-hmm. But a lot of states have already tried to make that difficult, have banned, for example, the use of telehealth for that purpose. Other states, if you know, a state that has an abortion ban, that applies to pills as well. So that means that prescribing abortion pills is no more legal than a surgical abortion. And states are trying, it's much more difficult, though, to regulate that. It's much easier to close down an abortion clinic than to prevent someone from getting pills online or in the mail. And that is definitely a trend we're seeing more and more of, particularly in places where access is limited.
And Sarah, conversely, are there efforts in certain states to protect or expand access to abortion?
Yeah, this is something that abortion rights advocates have been pushing for a few years. We've seen some state legislatures take steps to expand the types of providers who can offer abortions or to, provide funding for provider training, things like that. Also, there are ballot initiatives in a few states this November, in Vermont and California, for example, that would sort of shore up the right to an abortion. A big state to watch, though, is Michigan. There's a ballot initiative there that's citizen-led. Citizens gathered signatures to put that on the ballot to affirm legal access to abortion in the state constitution. Voters will have a chance to weigh in November, as they will in several other states.
That is NPR's Sarah McCammon. Sarah, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.